الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers and elders and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I'm going to talk to you about the link between fasting and guidance and the Quran. What is the link between fasting and the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to develop a state of mind which is in constant awareness of His presence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti illaha wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan azima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, speak the truth. And if you do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify your deeds, will make islah of your amal, and will forgive your sins. And the one who obeys Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, faqad faza fawzan azima, only that person has achieved a success which has no end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqul laha haqqa tuqatihi وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not die except in a state of Islam. Now how do we ensure that we do not die except in a state of Islam? There's only one way, and that way is to live in a state of Islam. How do you ensure that you die in a state of Islam? By living in a state of Islam. There is no other way. You cannot live in a state outside Islam and then die in a state of Islam. It's logically impossible. Because we do not know when death will come. And therefore, if we want to ensure that we die in a state of Islam, we have to ensure that we live in a state of Islam. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about fasting, I want you to remember the word taqwa, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about fasting, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah said that fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed for those before you so that you may develop taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Now why is taqwa important and what is the connection between taqwa and hidayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about His book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ This is a book in which there is no doubt. And this is a book which is hidayah for the people of taqwa, al-muttaqun. Fasting is prescribed to bring about and to increase a state of taqwa. And taqwa ensures hidayah. Taqwa only ensures hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you cannot warn anybody about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the day of judgment, except those people who have khashyatullah, except those people who have iman bil ghaib, except those people who have taqwa. And therefore, it is very important for us to ensure that we have taqwa. About this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited us to make tadabbur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited us to reflect on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited us to think about what we are reading, to understand what we are reading. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ He said, don't they reflect on what is this Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Or is it that their hearts are sealed? The people who do not reflect on the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that maybe their hearts are sealed against hidayah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the sealing of our hearts. So who is Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Himself. And before He mentioned about Himself, and before He introduced Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, gave us choices. Allah gave us a choice to choose Him and to obey Him, or to refuse Him and to do whatever we liked. Two different choices. But when we have the freedom to choose, there is a big mistaken impression in the minds of most people who believe, when they say, I am free to choose, they believe that the choice is free. Now, this is a big mistake. We are free to choose, but every choice has consequences. Choice is not free. We are only free to choose, but every choice has consequences. Some consequences are good, some consequences are not good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are free to choose, but the choices have consequences. La yastavi ashabun nari wa ashabul jannah. La yastavi. There is no istawa, there is no comparison. They are not the same. Who? Ashabul nar wa ashabul jannah. Ashabul jannati humul faizun. The people of Jannah, these are the people who will have success. Fawz, the word fawz, this is the problem again with translations of the Quran, where we just translate words in a particular way. There is najah, which is also success. But najah is success in the short term. Incidental. It happened just now, you passed an exam. Does it mean now that you are successful for the rest of your life? No. It just means that you passed this one exam. But fawz is success which has no ending. When Allah said fawzul azim, fawzul kabir, He is talking about the Jannah from which there is no return. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to give us that fawz. So Allah said, la yastavi ashabun nari wa ashabul jannah. Ashabul jannati humul faizun. Only the ashabul jannah have fawz. Only the Ashabul Jannah are faizun. They are the people who have unending success. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described these two kinds of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned His book. And He mentioned His book in a very unusual way, where He talked about the effect that this book creates on anyone who understands it. Why is Allah mentioning that? So that we can examine ourselves and say that if this effect is not happening on me, then I need to question my understanding of this book. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who understands this book, for him this is the effect. And what is the effect of the one who understands the book of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Allah said that if this book is sent down on a mountain, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to reflect on the Quran. What is the meaning of sent down on a mountain? What is the meaning of nuzul alal jabal? Does it mean you keep a book on a rock? Nuzul means if the mountain were to understand this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this mountain understood this kalam, if this kalam became part of this mountain's understanding, then what would happen to the mountain? لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيَمْ مُتَصَدِّيَمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. The mountain would shiver and disintegrate and turn into dust مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to question ourselves. I need to ask myself, when I read the Quran, what is the effect on me? Is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala impermeating my heart? Is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala driving me away from everything which is the disobedience of Allah? Or am I still a slave to my nafs instead of being a slave to Allah? Am I Abdullah or am I Abdul Nafs? Am I Abdullah or am I Abdul Fulus? Am I Abdullah or am I Abdul Ibad? Or Abdul Akhilla? The slave of my friends, the slave of money, the slave of my own nafs. Which one? Because if I am Abdullah, then the nafs has no meaning, the Fulus has no meaning, the friends and so on, and their false popularity has no meaning. Only and only the Radha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this Quran is sent on a mountain. this is what will happen to the mountain. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. We give these examples to the people so that they will think and they will reflect. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا. Don't they think? Don't they make tadabbur? Do not they reflect on this Quran? Or is it that their hearts have been sealed? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in his majestic words. The words which cannot be translated, we translate them for the sake of understanding. Because we don't understand Arabic, may Allah give us the tawfiq to understand Arabic. Because how do you translate the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you translate the glory and majesty of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you translate the effect of those words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself and he said, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن مؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Huwa Allahul Khaliqul Bari'ul Musawwir lahul asma'ul husna yusabbihu lahu ma fis samawati wal ard وهو العزيز الحكيم. The last ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, I'm not going to translate them for you. Read the translation yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined people of intelligence as people who understand this. People who recognize him. People in whose hearts is the khashya of their Rabb. People in whose hearts is a recognition of their Rabb. And what is the meaning of recognizing your Rabb? It means that you never, never, never disobey Allah. It means that you never do anything which is against the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that you never do anything which is against the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to obey the Nabi of his. Without question and without even having a thought in your mind and heart against the hukum of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. He said, the one who obeyed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who obeyed the Rasul, verily he obeyed Allah. This does not mean that the Rasul is Allah. It means that the Rasul brings for us the orders and ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. It means he does not speak from his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He speaks only that which has been revealed to him. So the one who disobeys Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is disobeying Allah. The one who denies Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has denied Allah. He is a murtad and a kafir. And the one who denies the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has denied the Quran. And he is a murtad and a kafir. I am not making the fatwa. Allah made the fatwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the people of intelligence. Who are the people of intelligence? According to the definition of their creator. Not according to your definition and my definition and not according to Fortune 500 and not according to this and that and this IQ test and that IQ test. The definition of the creator of what is intelligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. Allah said in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of intelligence. Al-Uli al-Albab. Who are these people?
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار.
Who are the people of intelligence? الَّذِينَ يَذُكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. First sign of intelligence. People who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down in every aspect of their lives, in every position of their body, in every breath they take, in every move they make, they are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them. They are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they are doing. First sign of intelligence is to recognize your Rabb. If that first sign is not there, then the rest of your knowledge, the rest of your understanding, the rest of your IQ test, the rest of all the tests and exams and degrees that you have is so much trash to be dumped into the dustbin, because that's exactly where it belongs. The one who does not recognize his creator is a fool. By the definition of his creator, he's not intelligent. It doesn't matter which degree he has. It doesn't matter how many PhDs he has. It doesn't matter how many papers he writes. It doesn't matter how many symposia he addresses. It doesn't matter how many books he writes. All of that is trash, because he does not recognize his Rabb. But what about the one who does all of these things, but first recognizes his Rabb? وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What about the scientists who recognizes Allah? What about the technologists who recognizes Allah? What about the philosopher who recognizes Allah? What about the historian and the geographer who recognizes Allah and sees the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his signs? What about him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him that such people who recognize their Rabb and then they make fikr in the khalq of the samawat wal ard, they recognize the signs of their Rabb in all that they see. And what do? They say, Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila. O our Rabb, you have not created this in vain. When I make an operation on a patient, I see your signs in the beating of the heart. When I touch somebody's pulse and his blood is racing, I see your signs in the speed of the blood which is racing, in the temperature in his body. When I see how a man who is less than 6 feet tall can create a machine which can lift hundreds of tons, I recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave the intelligence for us to be able to create such machines with our technology and with our science. When I see buildings which are built, and we see buildings which seem to defy gravity and which seem on the point of taking off into the air, huge buildings which give such an appearance of light, I see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I travel in an A380 aircraft and I see a plane which is hundreds of tons in weight and it takes off in the air and it travels thousands of miles across the land and across the seas, I see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I see a super tanker which is thousands of tons of dead weight of steel, but it floats in the water, I see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I describe for you the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh my brothers and sisters, when Allah has given you the eyes to see them, and Allah has given you the knowledge to recognize them, and Allah has put iman into your hearts so that you will glorify him when you see every sign of his. You see his sign every day in the mirror when you look at the face that he created for you. Do you not recognize the sign of Allah when you look at your own face in the mirror? That is why the famous share of Saadi alayhi rahma, he said, Khizr kyun kar bataye, kya ka bataye, agar mahi kahe darya kaha. He said, well, how can even Khizr explain to a fish if the fish is asking where is the sea? Subhanallah, you are in it. How do you describe to you where it is? You are living in the qudrat of your Rabb. And you want someone to come and point it out to you? Open your eyes. Open your eyes, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. We ask Allah not to make us among those. Allah said, these people are not blind because of their eyes. They are blind because their hearts and their chests are blind. They are blind because their hearts refuse to recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing wrong with their eyes. Their eyes are fine. But when they see the sign of Allah, they do not recognize it for what it is. And that is what the message of this Quran, and that is what the message of this of Ramadan, that we get this taqwa where we can recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed this month so that we develop taqwa. How do we develop taqwa? What is it that this month teaches us? This month teaches us one and one lesson only. And that lesson is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. It teaches us the lesson that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether we like the instruction or not. It teaches us the lesson that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether that instruction makes sense to our stupid little minds or not. Tell me, what sense does it make that you keep yourself hungry from dawn to dusk? From early morning before you can see, from can't see to can't see. You keep yourself hungry. You keep yourself thirsty. Subhanallah, just today somebody sent me a message. There is one Muslim in the island of Greenland. Make dua for him, inshallah. There's one Arab who runs a restaurant in Greenland. He is the only Muslim on the island of Greenland. His fast is 21 hours. And then he's got 3 hours in which to pray Maghrib and Isha. And finishes suhoor, and then it is time for Salat al-Fajr. He is from Lebanon, and they asked him, why don't you go back to your country for the month of Ramadan? He says, because if I go back to my country for the month of Ramadan, on this island of Greenland, for the whole month of Ramadan, there will be nobody to fast and nobody to pray. Subhanallah, ajeeb, eh? People who understand who they are. He said, I can take a holiday in Ramadan and go to my country in Lebanon and live in a Muslim environment and have a fast and this and that with my family. He said, no, if I do that, there will be nobody for the whole of month of Ramadan on the island of Greenland to take the name of Allah. People who understand who they are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I say this again and again and again, and many of you have heard me so many times, you won't be sick of me telling you this. Please recognize who you are. Please recognize who you are. You are not ordinary people. Stop behaving like ordinary people. Each one of you is a standard bearer of Islam. Whether you like it or not, you walk out there on the street and people are looking not at you by name, they are looking at a Muslim. Ask yourself, what impression of Islam do I want to convey to the world? Because whether you like it or not, the world is taking an impression about Islam from you. From the way you look, from the way you walk, from the way you talk, from the way you deal with people, from the way you deal with your own family, from the way you do everything in your life. They are not looking at you as an individual. They are looking at you as a representative of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ask yourself, what are they seeing? When they are looking for examples of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are they seeing? What am I showing them? Ask yourself this question. This month comes to teach us this one lesson, that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month made haram for us that which is intrinsically and in itself halal. So why have we made it haram on ourselves from morning till night? What is the reason? One reason only. Because Allah said so. Hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore I will not eat and I will not drink and I will not be with my wife from morning till night. Not because I like it, not because it makes sense, not because it is good for my body. Anyone who is fasting for the sake of losing weight, please change your niyyah and then repeat all the fasts you did till now, because none of those fasts are accepted. Innama al-a'malu binniyat. If you are fasting to lose weight, those fasts are gone. Make khada of 10 fasts. Fasting is for the sake of Allah alone. So what is the lesson of Ramadan? That we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unconditionally, without using our intelligence, without using anything except obedience, and we demonstrate our Islam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. My brothers and sisters, what therefore do you and I say? When we have made haram on ourselves that which was halal, because it is the hukum of Allah, what do you say to that which is haram anyway? What do you say to that which is haram anyway? Gambling, is it jaiz or haram? Tell me. Except in Malakpet, no? Except in Malakpet, except on your race courses. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Have fear of Allah. Have fear of Allah. What about drinking alcohol? Jaiz or not jaiz? Haram or halal? Except in Secunderabad Club, yes? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. What about music and dancing? Haram or halal? Why don't I hear any sounds here? Haram or halal? Except on New Year's Eve parties. Believe me, every place you go to, I have been to. That is the difference between you and your normal Maulvis and me. There's nothing that you do which I don't know about. Please, change yourself. Change yourself before Malakul Maut comes. Because none of your clever arguments is going to work with Malakul Maut. We have got this great impression that just because I can make some cute statements and shut up some poor mukhlis maulana who does not know my world, therefore what I am doing is right. Remember, you don't have to justify yourself to some mukhlis maulana. You have to justify yourself to the creator of the mukhlis maulana and you. Leave that which is haram before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals the door of hidayat. Remember, your Rabb and my Rabb is ghuyur. Allah is not asking us and begging us and pleading with us and sending us an application to say, please obey me. تعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering us, because we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every breath we take. It is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when your breath leaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can order it not to go back, and that's the end of your story. Fear Allah, because that is what Ramadan came to do. At the end of fasting for 30 days, if you go back to haram, if you again miss your salawat, to leave salah is haram, is kufr. أَحَدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ أَصَّلَاةِ وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, the ahad, the line between them and us is as-salah. The covenant between them and us is salah. The one who leaves it, وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, he is a kafir, he has left Islam. Promise yourself that by the month of Ramadan comes to train us in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we become muttaqeen, and so that because of our taqwa, Allah will give us hidayah. This is the connection between fasting and the Quran. Promise yourself that Allah has made you muttaqeen, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, that you will retain and remain with this taqwa for the rest of your life until Malakul Maut comes to meet you. Promise yourself this. Believe me, it's for your good I'm talking, not for my good. My job is over with this speech. I will not be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you do or do not do. I will be held accountable if I do not speak clearly and tell you what I have to tell you because I am afraid of you or because I need your popularity. Allah is witness. I am not afraid of you and I do not need your popularity. Beyond this, my job is over. Please do not be in a position where when you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, the angels will come and they will say, Alam yatikum nadir. Did nobody warn you? Did anyone not come and warn you about this day? And what will those people say? قَالُوا بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ وَقَالُوا نَسْمَعُ وَنَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. They will say, of course they came and warned us, but we denied them and we told them, you are liars, this is not what Allah sent you and you are misguided. We said to the people who warned us, and then these people will themselves say, they say, if we were intelligent, if we had any brain, do you think we would now be among the people of the hellfire? This is the conversation between angels and those people who insist on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment just before they are thrown into the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that terrible day and that terrible punishment. My brothers and sisters, the Quran comes as guidance, and the Quran comes as guidance to those people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unconditionally. I will close with describing the asbab al-nuzul of the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, because this is the most beautiful example of those who obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith that is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِن تُبُدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِن تُبُدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah revealed and Allah said that whatever is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of whatever you think and feel in your hearts and whatever you say and do, visible and invisible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable, will take hisab. And after He holds you accountable and after He takes hisab, فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَىٰ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَىٰ. The one who Allah wants to forgive, He will forgive, and the one who Allah wants to punish, He will punish. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing all of this. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, please understand, the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the only standard against which we will be measured on the day of judgment. We will not be measured against anyone except the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, see how the Sahaba treated the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to us. What do we do when somebody speaks? What do? We respond, we react. We don't sit there like dead bodies. We don't sit there like blocks of concrete. We respond, we react. Ya Allah, you said this. Oh Allah, what will happen to me? And so Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that this ayah, when it was revealed, it was very heavy on the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They went down on their knees before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not make sajda to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They went down on the knees with the weight of this ayah on their shoulders. And they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to pray and we pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to give zakat and we give zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make jihad and we make jihad. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will hold us accountable for our thoughts. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are in control of our tongues and we are in control of our actions, but we have no control over our thoughts and our feelings. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds us accountable for our thoughts and our feelings, we will be destroyed. Does this argument seem logical and sensible to you or not? What do you think? Yes or no? But you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? The blessed face of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became red with anger. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, he said, are you going to be like those who came before you? And when the kalam of Allah was sent to them, when an hukam of Allah was sent to them, when an order of Allah was sent to them, they would say, Sama'na wa asayna. We hear, but we will not obey. We hear, but we will not obey. This does not make sense to us. This book should be changed. This order should be changed. Kalimatul kufr. You die on that, you are in the hellfire on a grease slide, believe me. People who say we hear but we will not obey. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qul, say, sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilaykal masir." Whose words are these? The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did the Sahaba do? I told you, they are the example for us. What did they do as soon as the Nabi said this sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did they argue with him? They said, no, you see, Rasulullah, you don't understand us. This is not what we meant. Nothing. He said, Qul sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. What did the Sahaba do? They said, sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Oh, our Rabb, we have heard and we will obey. Oh, Rabb, forgive us. Because to you is our return. No arguments. No arguments whatever. The position of the Muslim is Samana wa Atana. And then see the wages of obedience. See the return and reward of obedience. Jibreel alayhi salam came. Jibreel alayhi salam descended. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did two things. He abrogated the ayah which he had sent. And he used the words of his Nabi and the Sahaba of his Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated those words and they became Allah's kalam to be recited with honor till the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a special place to these ayat, and Jibreel alayhi salam came and gave this to Allah to the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the one who recites these two ayat in the night before he goes to bed, they will be sufficient for him till the morning, and the one who recites them in the morning when he wakes up, they will be sufficient for him till the end of the day. And what are these ayat? آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated the earlier ayah, and then Allah taught the sahaba how to make dua. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وخطأنا ربنا لا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته عملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ما ولا تحمل علينا إلا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Some of the Mufassirin have said that these ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, and these are proof that these du'as have already been accepted. So some of the Mufassirin have said that recite this as Quran, but do not make this as dua, because there is no need to ask Allah again for something which He has already given. SubhanAllah, see the understanding of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no need to ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold you responsible for your thoughts and your mind, whatever comes into your mind, which is beyond your control. Allah has already given this. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself that this month comes to teach us obedience. Obedience creates taqwa. Taqwa ensures hidayah. And that is the connection between fasting and between hidayah and the kalam of Allah and the Quran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His kalam, to clean our hearts and minds from all the futur and all the filth of this dunya and all the wasawis of shaitan and the brothers of shaitan in human form who put these wasawis into our ears. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage to deny all of them, because when we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we have already denied all of them. And we ask Allah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us completely and totally obedient to Him in every respect, whether it is hidden or whether it is seen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from us, to accept our siyam and to accept our qiyam and to accept our tilawatul Quran and to open our hearts and to open our minds to Him and His obedience and to open the doors of Jannah for us when we come before Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. You pray sunnah and then we'll do the khutbah inshallah.